It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave.
That's right, you are tuned to a Friday Rave on Community Radio 3CR with me, Mercedes, and Jake.
Hey, hey.
And we're not actually in the studio. We're sitting outside and it's a beautiful sunny day.
But it's a beautiful sunny morning, actually. It's earlier than I'm normally doing things.
Same with me, I know. I feel like I've been up for ages. But, you're on 855 AM on your old school dial, or you might be tuned in via 3CR Digital or listening back by your favourite podcast client or wherever you are. It is Subscriber Drive this week at 3CR.
Subscriber Drive. Yeah. Is your subscription up to date, mate? That's my question.
My subscription is up to date.
Right, okay, because I've got to say, the last time we were in the studio and I saw the signs to Subscriber Drive, I had to go into the office and say, is my subscription up to date? No, Jacob.
Yeah, get your act together.
That'll be $40, mate.
Yeah, so it is 40. It's $40 concession.
Yep.
Wage for the year, $80 if you get a wage, or if you want to chip in a bit extra, it's $300 solidarity. Or if you're a business or organisation, it's $150. But you're looking at generally between $40 and $80 to keep Radical Radio on the airwaves for another year. And 3CR, if you don't already know, is independent. And subscribers are an integral part of keeping 3CR on the airwaves and keeping it in the hands of the people and independent from mainstream
big business
and mainstream interference, we might say.
And if you're one of these rich
people
who happen to be listening to this by accident, you can always donate the extra ultra solidarity price of $10,000.
That's right.
And for that, we'll send you a car sticker.
Yep, and you might even get a little plastic card in the mail. But to subscribe, you can visit all the W's at 3cr.org.au/subscribe or call the station on, what is it?
03-9419-8377.
8377.
I think.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's in the brain somewhere. Or, of course, you can always pop into the station down here, down at 21 Smith Street. It's always nice coming in here and around subscriber time. It is lovely to see some familiar faces and new faces as well, which is always a good spot to pop in. But, yeah, make sure to subscribe because there's a heap of shows on 3CR, as I'm sure you're all aware. You can check them out anytime by tuning in. I actually got myself a little tiny radio Walkman the other day, so
oh,
I can.
Really?
Yep, it's okay. I reckon it's about the size of an old USB, maybe three old USB thumb drives stuck together, or about the size of a vape.
Oh
you
wow!
Can just
okay.
Stick it in your pocket and wander around and listen to 3CR all the time.
You want to be, yeah. Okay, no.
Right.
I was just going to say, you don't want to start inhaling the bloody thing.
No, maybe only through your ear holes. But, yeah, there's heaps of programs on 3CR.
And it's worth subscribing. But, look, I want to move on. As I say, it's early it's Friday morning here.
Which is maybe why we're rabbiting on a bit.
Yeah. But we were at the Herzog protest last night.
Yeah.
And now the first thing I want to point out is that while I just referred to it, I guess, as the Herzog protest against Israeli President Herzog's visit, it's bigger than that. You know, by now, everyone in the country knows who Isaac Herzog is, and whether you support his actions as President of Israel or not, and I assume you've listened to this radio station, you're in the latter, at the very least, even the most rusted-on supporter of either of the major Australian political parties, or even those in our community who don't give a shit about politics, but are just more or less happy the way things are, they know two things. Even the most socially disengaged person in the country must know at least these two things. Firstly, that the guy is over here, and secondly, that there's a significant number of people who think this is not a very good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly after looking at the footage of the police response in Sydney the other night. I mean, this has got to the point now where even some of the commercial media is talking about overreach by the New South Wales Police.
Yeah.
Now, how hard is it for the ABC or Channel 7 to talk about the police going above and beyond in the worst possible way? But anyway,
which listeners to this show will know that's what the police do, and that's what they do.
We know that.
Yeah.
But the truth, you know, the truth is that no protest in Australia is going to have any impact whatsoever on Israeli politics. We know that. As far as this issue goes, at least, we're not going to have any impact on the Australian government's position.
No.
And so you have to agree, therefore, that this protest is not actually about Herzog, though. You know, at a deeper level, it's about the way the Australian government appeases Israel. To see our grinning prick of a prime minister shaking hands with Herzog and then trying to get some cred by saying he raised Zomi Frankum's death.
Not murder.
Not murder, just death. It was sickening. And then to talk about not mentioning the Palestinians who have been bulldozed into the ground, but concerned about the way that they desecrated our war dead from the First World War. I mean, oh, man, what can you say? It was sickening.
Before Israel existed.
Before Israel existed.
Yeah, and just on that, some listeners might know, but some of you might not, that when Albanese first made the press conference about Zomi Frankum's murder, the goalie had to do that press conference from the floor of Vali Rafael, the weapons factory, Rafael being the Israeli military company that make the Spike LR2 missile, which is carried by the same drone made by Albert Systems that was used to murder Zomi Frankum.
Yeah. So he made a statement about it while...
on the floor of the factory.
Yeah, on the floor of the factory while eating a piece of chocolate cake or some bloody thing.
And then to go on and talk about the developments in industry and how important Vali Rafael was for industry.
The guy's absolutely sickening. But it's not really even about Albanese supporting Herzog or Israel. You see, Herzog, and this is what a lot of listeners don't know, because it's not spoken about in the media. Herzog was first invited here by the Zionist Federation of Australia. And only after he accepted did they then go to Albanese and say, hey, this bloke's coming, can you make it an official visit? Now, Albanese, whatever else you say about the person, he knows right from wrong. He knows what is right and he knows what is wrong. He knows the situation in Palestine. He knows Israel's committing genocide. He knows it. He knows that Herzog is up to his neck in it. I mean, I often refer to his deputy, Miles, as a fool and a tool, and a bit of a stool for that matter. But Albanese is no idiot. And that doesn't excuse him. It makes him even more culpable. But my point is, what choice did he have? He could either agree to making an official visit and therefore invite him to Parliament, or he could defer or whatever, and then have to explain on what grounds he refused. And that would leave him no real choice but to then reject his entry application.
Well, yeah, and also it's very he really only had this choice because the Australian government and Albanese in particular have this fawning approach to just, if we don't have to say anything, let's just say nothing.
We won't.
Let's just do nothing.
He was outplayed by the Zionist lobby, in short, as he has been at every turn. But it's not even really about him being outplayed by the Zionist lobby or by the extraordinary level of influence that they wield in Australian society and Australian state and federal politics. You know, about a quarter of a century ago, during the Second Intifada, Palestinian activist Ali Kazak, who died last year, told me the figure that the Zionist lobby donated to the ALP. I can't remember it, and it'd be meaningless in today's currency and climate anyway, but I do remember just how small it was. It was in the millions. It isn't everything at that level. Mm-hmm. My point is that while the Zionist lobby paid their dues, probably for particular favours, the ALP's continued toadying towards Israel isn't just about the money. I'm not saying they don't have a price list for selling out the people and for selling out their souls if they've got any left, but I reckon the ALP would need more than $1 million or $2 to shut their eyes to genocide. You know, most people,
Surely, but...
So if it's not ignorance on Albanese's part, if it's not ideology, if it's not a straight-out sale of principles, perhaps it's the political power of the Zionist lobby. You know, I recall Kevin Rudd's assertion in his book that after being castigated by Mark Liebler when he criticised Israel for issuing Mossad death squads with fake Australian passports, Liebler leaned over the table, according to Rudd, and said menacingly, "Julia's looking good these days." A few days later, Gillard rolled him as PM, with backing from the pro-Zionist and the ALP from both the left and right. You know, your Feeneys, your Shortens, they were all there.
A couple of them now are actually lobbyists of those pro-Zionist ALP.
Exactly.
Members are lobbyists for Israeli weapons companies now.
Yeah.
Mary Eason, I think, is one of them.
Who, sorry?
Mary Eason.
Yeah, she's one of them. Oh, they're all there, mate. Mark Liebler's son, Jeremy, by the way, is acting as Herzog's host in Australia. It would be difficult to believe, however, that the Zionist lobby has that much influence, and it almost falls into the category of conspiracy theories. So if it's not ignorance, if it's not ideology, if it's not a brown paper bag, if it's not a Zionist conspiracy controlling Australian governments, what is it?
What is it?
Well, here's what I reckon, mate. All of those are true. And, of course, garner influence in the corridors of power, or at least in the corridors of Parliament. But my central assertion, I guess, is that the corridor of Parliament House isn't where the real power is. And I can't recall how many times I've said on this radio show and other radio shows on this station and on other stations and on rallies and meetings, whatever, that the Australian government is nothing more than middle management for global capital. And we examined this in some detail with Clinton Fernandez when we were doing the Saturday kick-on shows over summer.
Mm-hmm.
When the Australian government makes decisions at all, the main decision-making criteria is in making Australia as useful as possible to the United States as the seat of global capital. And the Australia's government, whether it's led by Albanese or Morrison or Turnbull or Abbott or Gillard or Rudd or let's how far back do you want to go, Howard or Keating or Hawke or Fraser, whoever the patsy is, they'll do whatever it needs to meet the needs of global capital. The last bloke who didn't, in fact, was sacked 51 years ago. And this is where it's important to understand the big issue. Because if you claim that Albanese asked Herzog here because he's a Zionist, you're only reinforcing the myth that the Australian government has the power to determine its own foreign policy. And I've said this again before. I wish Albanese was a Zionist, because then at least I could believe that our Prime Minister was saying what he believed.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly. And I think, talking to Clinton, and he talks about this a lot in his book Turbulence, but also if you look at Australia's foreign policy decisions on Israel, I mean, there's no Australia, when you look at, apart from recognition of the state of Palestine, where it strayed from the US's standpoint, Australia either said nothing or just been in lockstep the whole time, more than most other places.
More than just about any other country apart from the Marshall Islands, I believe.
Yeah, there you go.
Or Palau. All right. And look, the last time we said we even deviated slightly was under Rudd's prime ministership and he got sacked.
Yeah.
And look, you need to say it's not just Australia. I mean, that's happened in other countries as well. But my point is that if you say that Australia has any, that the Australian government or prime ministers has any sort of power to change things whatsoever, you're backing up the lie, I guess, that they have. Because they haven't. In fact, here's a conspiracy, if you want one.
Oh, here we go.
That all the issues are managed to look like they're actual threats. And the room for change is, you know, we say we have room for change, precisely play the part, I guess I could say, of bolstering the narrative that the Australian government, that is, in a liberal democracy, reflecting the wishes and aspirations of Australian society. And they are not. And I'm not talking about a conspiracy in the sense of evil men in dark rooms telling our politicians what to say. I'm talking about a conspiracy in which the evil fucks control the way global capitalism works to the extent that they don't need to issue orders. That your Albanese's and all the rest know what's expected of them, would not even try to step aside from their appointed role. Now, of course, you have people like all the groups who spoke about, the Atlas Network and all the rest of it, who are manipulating these strings, but they're manipulating the laws to create the pattern of relationships where everybody plays their role. It's not that they're saying, here's $1 million, go out and say this. They're doing that in some cases.
Yes.
But the bigger picture is they're controlling the trajectory of global capitalism. And if there's a lesson to learn from Australia's support of Israel in this time of genocide, if there's anything to learn from Australia's absolute lickspittle moves to get even closer into bed with the United States in this time of pedophile rings, child torturers and murderers, it's this and this only: that global capital has us so tightly by the balls that we don't have a choice and have lost even the ability to act differently as a government, as a country, if we wanted to. And once we realise that, then and only then can we ask the age-old question, I guess: what is to be done?
Oh, it's a big question. When you like, when you were saying that, I mean, this is what we've said on the show many a times, and also just in conversation with comrades about when we're talking about defence exports.
Yeah,
you know, and the same questions that are going to keep doing, getting the same responses, is that like this is already kind of a bit done and dusted in terms of legislation and who actually has control over the exports. And, okay, yes, someone needs to sign the forms. Do we even know that? What is actually, we don't know what those contracts look like, but they're already written from the get-go.
That's it. They're written from the get-go. There is, it's just, it's all on automatic. It's all on automatic. And then, you know, then there are, that's not to say, of course, that bad shit doesn't happen. You know, that we don't need to protest, and we don't need to protest the little stuff, all right, and just say, you know, I'm not trying to say it's not worth doing anything, because it's all on automatic anyway. We still need to protest them to point out things that are happening. And one of the things that's happening this Sunday...
What's on this Sunday?
This Sunday in Melbourne, it's no Palestine protest, though there probably should be, though I'm not in a position to organise it. Let me just bring up this little screenshot I've got. About, where is it? Here we go. The Great Aliyah, an Israeli real estate expo. Now, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Apologies, I guess, to all my Hebrew-speaking listeners. Aliyah. It's the concept of Jews returning to Israel, all right? It's to come back to the Holy Land. So there's the Great Aliyah and Israeli Real Estate Expo. So the fact that they're calling it that means they want Jewish people. And it's about buying land. Come and meet consultants in all areas of Aliyah and investigate the best Anglo neighbourhoods in Israel to find your dream home. Can you believe this? They're selling real estate. They reckon they've got consultants on every aspect of Aliyah. General insurance, attorneys, tax advisors, transferring funds, home management, assisted living, financial planning, mortgage advisors, and the rest. And you could go down, if you like, to, let me just get the address up here for you, the Caulfield Hebrew Congregation at 572 Inkerman Road in Caulfield North. That's where it's happening. It starts at midday on Sunday, February the 15th.
And that event is happening here whilst, pitifully, the Australian government claims to say that it is against the illegal Israeli settlements and yeah. settler violence yeah. and settler murders and attacks that are happening against Palestinians, and alongside the complete erasure, of course, by Israel of Palestinians in the West Bank and in Gaza.
Well, that's another thing that's happening here. Israel has just started putting the legal framework around its annexation of the West Bank. Now, what they've done, they've created basically, I'm reading here from a Mondo Vice, I think it is, as I got the text from. It has laid the legal groundwork for the annexation of the West Bank, made a series of decisions last Sunday that changed the legal status quo, dramatically shrinking the already limited authority of the self-government body known as the Palestinian Authority. Signals the practical beginning of a formal annexation of the West Bank, starting with specific areas. And the bill conferring these authorities to Israel was approved by Cabinet in its final draft and is set waiting to be voted on by the Israeli Knesset.
And so when did that go through? Last week?
Sunday it was approved by the by Cabinet.
By Cabinet. And yeah. so I think it's... worth noting, while Herzog was here in Sydney and Melbourne and Canberra and doing his tour around, that Bibi Netanyahu was in Washington meeting with Trump and accepted his position on the Board of Peace, which we spoke about last week and I'm sure many listeners will be aware of. And so at the same time that this is going through and talking about what the reconstruction plan of the Board of Peace for Gaza is they're emptying out any form of Palestinians.
Yeah. Well, to put Trump and Netanyahu in the same sentence, in the same paragraph, on the same paper, as something to do with peace, is just shows the bullshit that it is.
And I do think it's interesting at the same time that Herzog was here in Australia that Netanyahu was in Washington.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's part of the global thing, mate. And look, when the other thing we never mentioned about Herzog's visit. We protested at, like in Sydney, they went for where Herzog was.
Mm.
In Melbourne, we knew where he was.
On the day.
We knew where he was. He was in two places. He was in Government House and he was at the, what's it called, the CL venue.
CL venue on at about 408 City Road.
408 City Road. Yeah. And we decided, or the people who organised the protest, all we did was provide the sound. The people who decided the protest decided to be on the other side of the city from that. I mean, no wonder the police were so well behaved.
And the event that Herzog was speaking at was at from 2:30 till 4:30.
Yeah,
I think so. He went from Government House to there, and I think it the venue that it was in, CL at City Road, is run by a group called the Atlantic Group. Now they do things like the Melbourne Cup and Grand Prix, and they're hospitality stalwart, I guess they would be called. And so they, you know, put on these big...
When the big end of town needs to do something.
And they work closely with Harry the Hirer, who's the same company that provided all the fit-outs for land forces at the MCEC.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Atlantic Group, you can look them up. They've got a few venues around town. And I don't know, is Herzog flown out now or...?
I think he has, yeah.
But one of the things, places that the Atlantic Group kind of manages or looks after is Melbourne Connect, which is a sort of a collaboration, I guess, between industry and Melbourne Uni. And there's a few different partnerships or companies that are located in there.
It's hard. Well, I mean, apart from anything else, Melbourne Connect is the site of the old women's hospital.
Mm.
It's where my two kids were born.
There you go.
In fact. And we had a protest there a while back because it was being set up as Lockheed Martin's Stellar Lab.
Ah.
And Stellar stands for, I want to get the words right, science, technology, electronics, something like that. It's a Lockheed Martin research facility. And we don't know whether they're still there,
mm-hmm.
but when they were changing it over from the Women's Hospital to the Melbourne Connect, they were one of the main tenants. And it was only a few years ago, so I'd very much doubt that they've moved, but you can't find reference to them.
No, right. And well, and I mean, one of the companies that we know that is in there at the moment is Liquid Instruments. And
Liquid Instruments.
Liquid Instruments. I mean, you can jump on and chuck their name into DuckDuckGo. You can find them in a few of the Renegade Activist pamphlets. They were, of course, at Land Forces. And they're kind of like it's a training module learning. I don't really understand what they do. Test and measurement applications. They're in photonics, engineering, optics.
Electro-optics.
Yeah. And so they're located in Melbourne Connect. And it was, you know, they're a relatively new company, but they've sort of climbed through the ranks pretty quickly. But they got some of their initial seed funding directly from a few different Israeli venture capital firms, and have been supported by venture capitalists here with connections to Israel.
Yeah, did Israel. Yeah.
And also provide, they have partnerships with a mob in Israel called Rosh Electroptics.
Right, okay.
And to provide Liquid Instruments products to both commercial, this dual use, commercial and military applications in Israel.
Yeah,
so that's just one of the companies that's in this Melbourne Connect building.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at their website. They make oscilloscopes and phase meters and frequency response analyzers. I don't even know what this shit is, to be honest.
No, but I mean, it's an economy that's engaged in genocide. So. Yeah.
But anyway, so there you say they've got a space at what's it
Melbourne
called?
Connect.
Melbourne Connect. And yep. Melbourne Connect's then got the connection, the Melbourne Connection, with the Atlantic Group. And the Atlantic Group also has the Port Melbourne Yacht Club and the Good Shed, the Riviera Beach Club, the Science Gallery, the Gardens House, all top end venues for the elite of Melbourne society.
The elite. And I mean, we're just about out of time, but I just what did Jacinta Allen say about Herzog's visit?
She thanked Herzog for bringing the light.
Mm.
Bringing the light. What light? I mean, you know, I mean, on the one hand, bringing the light, the bringer of light is Lucifer.
Ah.
So.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So.
He certainly arrived here during the week, didn't he?
Yeah, he's a fallen angel.
Mm. Well, I don't know if he was ever an angel, but that's about all we've got time for this week. Make sure to jump online to 3CR.org.
3CR. And next week, I'm going to say this now, I want to talk a little bit about the Epstein Files.
Yeah. You'll be seeing it everywhere. And let's have a yarn about that next week.
Yeah. Okay. In the meantime, get on 3cr.org.au or call 9419 8377 and subscribe.
We'll catch you next week.